And we think about, precious Lord, take my hand, guide me, lead me home. You know, every day, at the end of the day, when he leads us home, we don't know what the next day will produce, you know? Life has no guarantees, no promises, but we have the promises of God, and we stand on the promises of God, and we can sing it on the rooftops if we want to. Very privileged to be here this morning, again, by God's grace. We've been going through the book of Revelation, and we've seen through Revelation chapter 1 that John was writing down what Jesus was interpreting to him. And we had seen that there were the seven stars, which were the seven messengers or the seven pastors. Some translations have the seven messengers as angels. And the candlesticks, of course, are the churches. And we look at the churches today, and they vary one from another. It's not one church that's the same. It's, you know, even if you belong to a denomination, people are still different, people from all walks of life. So it's a blessing to mingle in with the crowd, so to speak, and to have fellowship. That word fellowship means to have something in common with one another. But we looked at last week, week before last, because Brian took my place. Brian did a wonderful job. We appreciate that. And by the way, the WAM, the West African Mercy Mission newsletter, the newest one, is back on the mission board. So the week before last, we were looking at the Church of Ephesus. They were doing everything right. Paul had been there for 3 years, and he was going about and in his second missionary journey, and he was also, he had some, what most expositors believe, or theologians, however you want to phrase it, believe that he had started these churches, these seven churches, in modern day Turkey, which we have today. So what happened was, is that you had an issue come up in Ephesus that they had lost their first love. What I mean by that is, you remember when you first got saved? Can you reach back that far this morning and remember the joy that you had and just the bliss that it was and how happy you were? And you couldn't wait to tell people about Jesus, what God had done in your life, you know, and some people thought you were crazy, you know. But you were like all together there because there was just something that you just could not hold back, you know. So what happened was with these people, they loved the Lord. God had prospered them. And what happened was they lost their first love. I can just put it into these words, 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. Love is large and incredibly patient. Love is gentle and consistently kind to all. It refuses to be jealous when blessing comes to someone else. Love does not brag about one's achievements or inflate its own importance. Love does not traffic in shame or disrespect, nor selfishly seek its own honor. Love is not easily irritated or quick to take offense. Love joyfully celebrates honesty and finds no delight in what is wrong. Love is a safe place of shelter and it never stops believing the best for others. Love never takes failure as defeat. It never gives up. And the problem is when you take the agape, that kind of love, out of the picture, it means nothing. Because the preceding verses tell you that, you know, without love, it means nothing. So they were just going through the motions as it is. Going to church, doing what they were supposed to, but their heart wasn't into it. And unfortunately, we all have to be careful because we all can grow a little cold or indifferent to one another or to Christ. And unfortunately, taking it to the extreme, some people have even apostatized. They have left the faith. Many cults now are filled with people that used to go to a good fundamental church or a good church because they were never truly saved. They were saved by feelings or saved by knowledge, but they weren't saved by the Spirit. Big difference. So, and I really believe too, when we get to heaven one day, God is, during the time of of the Bema Seat, when Christians will be judged fairly, rightly so, before the Lord Jesus Christ, God's going to look at our motives. Did we do things out of love? Or we just do things because we have to do things? That's one of the alternatives I can think of. But I don't know. I don't know. But I know there are going to be works that are going to be burned up. There are going to be works that are going to come out like jewels, precious. But I wanted to encourage everybody today. You know, if you're not loving it like the commercial goes about a fast food chain, oh, I'm loving it. You know what? You got to be in love. Don't leave your first love. You know, God always gives us a chance to fall in love. As it was, Paul had been there and he had written to the church of Ephesus, and then Jesus writes the letter, he interprets it to John in Revelation chapter 1. Write these things down to the seven churches. So you have actually two letters going out to Ephesus. Remember where you were. Remember your first love. For those who've been married, you understand what I'm talking about, right? Okay? That's one example. Repent. Repent. You know, get it right. I've been wrong. I can't. You know what? You can't hide something that smells under the rug. Why? Because it's going to permeate the whole house eventually, right? And then return back to where you've walked away from. You haven't lost it. You left it. You walked away from it. It's so easy to do. We looked at week before last, the love of the world, love of the flesh, and love of those temptations that the devil throws out. So anyway, that's pretty much what we covered there. So, you know, just a warning to us all. Be careful, because our enemy's out there to do what he can to each one of us, and he always works a little bit at a time. You know, so be careful. All right. So now we're looking at Smyrna. And it's interesting, the word Smyrna. Now, it was a city, and it was a pagan city. And this city hated Christians for the most part. And we'll look at that in a minute. But the word Smyrna means myrrh. And it has the idea of suffering and death. Reminded of the three kings who went to see Jesus, the baby Jesus. Oh, Jesus is still here. It's written in the Word. His Spirit is there, and the Word became flesh. So the nativity's gone, but the Word's here today. So Jesus was hated. And it's interesting, we'll look here in a minute about the Jews, because the Jews hated Jesus. They hated Paul. They hated others because it didn't go with the religious flow. But Smyrna and the wise men and the word myrrh, where we get Smyrna from, has the idea of Christ was going to die that death. And one of the offerings was myrrh. Besides gold and frankincense, and has the idea of death. And so it's a spice that was taken from a bark of a tree, hardened to resin, then crushed to powder, And that was the experience of the Christian in that day because they were being persecuted. That word persecuted means to be hunted down. It will hunt you down. Talk and you read over the years about a persecuted church. They were hunted and they were thrown into prison. They were killed. They even said, and one historian said, Roman soldiers would come to homes with these 3-foot swords to intimidate people. And they would kill them right on the spot if they didn't give allegiance to the Caesar. At that time of church history, we had an emperor. There were actually 10 of them over a period of time. And his name was Trajan. And he said to the Christians, because now he was a living emperor, and this had never happened before, but he said, you must worship me. You go to my temple. And by the way, Smyrna was the first place that was chosen for emperor worship. So if you're a Christian in that day, and you had a house, you had a job, unless you went to that temple and taken some incense and said, okay, Trajan is Lord, they would take away everything you have. Imagine just leaving church one day and your car's not here. Try to call a taxi. Yeah, you get home. And it's like, no, you can't go into your house. We own it. Communism does that today. In a sense, if you look through the history of communism. Anyway, so they lost their homes, lost their jobs, put into jail. And unless you apostatized and took that incense at the altar of Trajan, they would give you a certificate saying that he is now Lord of your life. You're okay. You can keep everything you have. It's fascinating, I thought, since over the years, since I've been saved, that how many people who go to church would succumb to that? You know? How many people today would say, no, Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Okay, you're done. You're going to jail. And you never see your wife again. You never see your children. You never see your home again. You never see anything. If you have an animal, you never see your dog or your cat anymore. You're done. You're thrown in jail. That's it. That's the beginning of, you know that you are saved. You know for certain. Now, I know we can't lose our salvation. I'm not saying that. And there are some people that break. Some people that break under pressure, under torture. I'm not going there. Because, you know, even the Apostle John, they put him in a vat of oil. And they were going to go ahead and roast him alive, but he came out miraculously. They can't understand why, but I believe there are miracles then, as there are miracles today, like in Iran, the persecuted church. They have seen visions of Jesus. They've had, you know, people saying in the Muslim world that God has spoken to them. They've accepted Christ as their Savior. But let me warn you, be careful about that, because Satan mimics. Satan is disguised. But pray for the folks in Iran, the churches there, because they're under a very evil government. So with Smyrna, you have this, what is going on. So Smyrna is just north of Ephesus, and you're talking about persecution. It was there. So Jesus says in Matthew, be not afraid those who can kill the body, but those who can kill, what Jesus says, both body and soul and hell. Okay? So that's the second death. You know, you're born twice, right? You're born of this of water through your mother's womb. Second of all, you're born of the Spirit. Then you die. But then what about those who are born that or who die? Then they have to face what? The second death. You got to be careful. Pray for those
come to know the Lord. So we see here the angel of the church of Smyrna write, "These things say the first and the last who was dead and came to life." Now this is Jesus, amen. We have a resurrection. In fact, you know, this winter's going by so quick. Days are getting longer. People look forward to, and I look at the calendar, March 31st is Palm Sunday already. And the first week in April is what? Easter Sunday. It's coming quickly. But thank God our resurrection is coming quickly. It's coming before we even know it. So Jesus is the first and the last. And, you know, he is the one that gives us eternal life. Please, by the mercies and the graces of God, keep on witnessing for the Lord. You know, you just never know who you're touching. You don't know who's going to get saved, and you don't know who isn't. But you know what? You've been faithful. You've been through it all. But you keep on doing what God's called you all to do. He has called you. And time is running out for people. But do everything you can because you have eternity to grasp. And yet this world is fading away and everything that's there. Pray for the new baby boys being brought into this world, that they get saved, you know. And all the joys and wonders we have with our families and loved ones that we witness to. Remember, let God save. Remember, it's God's doing. Okay, don't get discouraged, don't get upset because of that. But verse 9, it says here, first of all, we see that Jesus lives, and we know that Jesus knows in verse 9. "I know your works, your tribulation, and your poverty." And so, you know, first of all, the tribulation, it was a time, like I had mentioned, that there was a great persecution going on. There was a man who his name was Polycarp, and it's interesting, I would have to tell you this here from what I have. He was a man who loved the Lord, and he died about this time. But listen to his testimony. Listen to this, because it's your witness that's going to change people's lives. It's your witness, even if it's your dying witness. I have seen people die on their beds before me, and I tell you what, it does something to you. It changes you. It's like, as one person put it, they're just a breath away, one step away to heaven. You know, they don't have to suffer with the sting of death because Jesus took that. Amen. But this is his testimony. Polycarp, he says, "The police and the horsemen came that evening. They found him lying down in the upper room of the cottage. He would have escaped from them, but he told them, 'God's will be done.'" Here he was, a man in his 80s, And I'm sure he was chuckling to himself. "There's nothing they can do to me now because I've lived a life." Some of us have lived three or four lives. Your testimonies, I'm like, wow. I could write books about you all, you know. So they came to him, and they were amazed at his age, his steadfastness. And some said, "Why did we go through so much trouble to capture a man like this?" You know, they were out to get everybody that they could, you know, quiet down Christianity. But as you know, your history books, the more they persecuted, the more the church growth, so backfired on our arch enemy. So Polycarp, he just interrupted him, and he says, "Excuse me, gentlemen, can I just stand here and pray? I have lots of food in my house, and I want to encourage you all, if persecution does come, or if you know somebody, welcome them. You don't have to be like Rainbow or somebody like that and get out your guns and, you know, because that's not how it happens." He said, "Come on, bring it on. It's okay. You know, I know where I'm going. Do what you want to do to my body. That's okay." So he told the guys, "Go ahead, have something to eat." You know, so they were taken back. They thought the guy was going to fight back. And they were waiting for him to apostatize. So once you recant and give favor to Trojan and, you know, give up this Christianity, it's foolishness. Back in the day, they used to call them Christians, like Christ ones, but they used to say it in an evil sense, a very mean sense. Oh, look at the little Christ ones. Little ones, you know, trying to demean you, make fun of you. It doesn't matter, you know. So he went on to say, Polycarp says, and I have done no wrong. How can I blaspheme my king, my savior? And they said, you know what? All right, Tuffy, you're old and tough, right? Your hide is pretty tough. But, you know, we're going to cast you to the animals, to the wild animals. I'm sure that'll make your hair stand on end, right? That'd be pretty much an ugly way to die. Pretty painful. But he says, Polycarp's response to this, if you want to do that, I'm okay with that. They could not get a response. You ever been in a place before, and I remember a guy sitting there, and he had his phone turned way up. And we're all there in the doctor's office, and all of a sudden went, bam, it just went off, and people were like this. And he started laughing. He goes, I wanted to see what kind of reaction people would do. And I was just like, oh, you don't want to really do that. But there are people like that. Polycarp did not give a reaction like that. He was like, okay, if that's what God wants, that's fine. They were like, who is this guy anyway? You know? So they said, you know what? We're going to burn you alive. How do you think about that? He's like, okay, whatever. You know, bring it on. I already know where I'm going. I fear for you because it's what God will do to you in the afterlife. He's pretty much thinking about himself. And he went on to say, why are you waiting? Take me to the fire. And as they led him to the fire, a lot of witnesses said, he walked up to it and he said, well, you know, we're going to have to bound your hands. He said, is it okay if you keep my hands free? It's fine. It's okay. So as he got there on the wood pile, and as all the people around, you know, saw this, guess what he did? He started singing. And you know what? It amazed people. It's like, what? I don't get it. And it's like, that's what God does. It's the love of God does that. And he was burned alive. And he, you know, was thanking God and he was praying out loud. But, you know, if you ever want to pass away being persecuted, I think you all would like to do that. You know I would. And doctors tell you when you're being burned to death that you're... your nerves go. And after a while, you can't feel anything. Okay? So, that being said. But so there was tribulation. And then there was poverty. There was an idea of being crushed financially. Being like as you take a fruit or if you take an orange. And you try to get orange juice from it, has the idea of you being in poverty. They had lost everything they had to make people submit to Trajan the Caesar at that time. There were many pagan idols in that day, from Zeus all the way down. And yet, there was no room for Jesus Christ. They said, you know what? You can do this if you want. You can have other gods too, but bring your Jesus down, okay? And yet they were very rich, like it says in their poverty. They were rich spiritually. I have met over the years some very sad, sad rich people because they don't have Christ in their lives. Like it says in James chapter 1, it's like a flower that fades, you know. Be careful.
God has blessed you. You know what? That's great. But these Christians at the time, they had everything taken away from them. Everything. So, you know, sometimes God has to take things away from us to bring us, to humble us, to keep us right with him. So they were rich spiritually. And I really appreciate the folks here at our church and online too that I know of, that, you know, they're rich spiritually. That's something that money can't buy. And so there was tribulation, there was poverty, which, you know, and by the way, this church is the only church besides the church in Philadelphia that God commends. Didn't have anything against it, okay? And at the church of Laodicea, by the way, God had nothing good to say about it, which is the apostate church. You know, you have something to drink, I like to have it either ice cold or hot. Jesus says, spew you out of my mouth. Because the apostasy that's going around is horrible. Some people get confused with Hebrews chapter 6 and say that in there that you can lose your salvation because, you know, at one time the Jews were going to the temple and they decided that since Christ had died on the cross, this is during the time of Hebrews, which was written around 60, 70 AD, they said, you know, we have lost our salvation. Some people take that passage when it's referring to they apostatized because they went back to the old sacrifices, the temple. They called themselves Christians. They were Jews. But yet they went back, they apostatized, they went back to what they were doing. And has the idea of spewing, they tasted of it, and instead of saying taste and see if the Lord's good, they spewed it as the idea of tasting, and it was like, I don't want it, you know. And at the same time, you know, with the church of Laodicea, God's not seeing it. And I believe today we're living in the church age of the Laodicean and the Philadelphia age. You have either you're strong, on fire for the Lord, or you're not. You're just playing the game. So I know, I know also, he says this, and I like this, the second time he says, I know in verse 9, and the second time in verse 9, I know the blasphemy, and that word blasphemy has the idea of, you know the truth, but you reject it. You walk away from it, and you give it credit to something else. That's why Jesus said in Matthew that, you know, what's happening is that the Jews were coming to him and saying, oh, I got this. You know, your works are of the devil. I like what Jesus said in John chapter 10. When he said, you know, before Abraham was, I am. And Jesus, the Jews said, well, we only have one father. And by the way, you said you were before Abraham. No, that can't be possible, Jesus. And Jesus says, I know whose father you are. And then, of course, they had said also in that text, we only have one father, Jesus. I know who your father is. He's of the devil. And the works that you will do. So the blasphemous statements, that's why Jesus didn't speak in parables around them. Because parables were there for the disciples, for those who followed Jesus. Because there weren't that many that followed Jesus. I was thinking this last week. There are few that are follow Jesus. There are many that go broad into destruction. There are many that today that do that. You go out witnessing. I could have been witnessing 40, 45 years ago, doing the same thing I'm doing today. Nothing's changed.
except I got to make sure my love's there. People still tell me the same stories. You know, I'm like, well, would you like to accept Christ as your Savior? And you almost got him. I could tell you story about story. I'm sure you could too. And they come so close, and they have that choice, because remember in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, people say, well, why did that happen? Well, because God gave Adam and Eve a choice. We have a choice today. And they're like, I got to think about it. I'm like, you really don't want to do that. You know, it's throughout the Bible, people make choices. So there were the Jews that are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. So remember, Paul was harassed by the Jews. Jesus was harassed by the Jews. And so even today, pray for Israel. Pray that they will come to know the Messiah. So the Jews would even come and back in Smyrna, and they would even accuse Christians of cannibalism. I say, what in the world do you mean? By the Lord's Supper. There's a couple of denominations around here today that believe that actually the wine and the bread of the Lord's Supper is actually the body and blood of Christ. And the transformation that happens during the communion, guess what? It actually becomes that. So the Judaizers were going around. It wasn't just about circumcisions. They were coming after. And by the way, Paul says in Romans, you're circumcised in the heart, not in the flesh, the Spirit of God. So they were going around saying they were even having the Lord's Supper. This is during Smyrna's time. And they were saying, you know what? These people are disgusting, these Christians. They're celebrating this agape feast, this love feast, over this, you know, having the Lord's body. They're disgusting people. Well, after a while, you know, look at the news with all the lies going around. People start believing that nonsense, because they don't look into conservative sources. The media, I would not trust them as far as rolling a ball down the street. You know, I'm not going to even touch that one. So then I like what it says here in verse 10. Jesus' rewards. Do not fear for those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested. And of course, anybody who studied their Bible would know that that was for the next 300 years. You had 10 Caesars. You had, you know, with Nero already, you know, before he came along in Paul's time, you know, Paul was beheaded. Peter was crucified upside down, et cetera, et cetera. And we all know that all of the disciples were martyred except for John, right? So you had a lot of persecution going on. Things were not looking good for Christians. And then, of course, Nero did what he did, and then Domitian and Trajan and Marcus Aurelius, Servius, Maximinus. I try to practice these names, and I still mess up with them. Decurius, Valerian, Aurelian, and Diocletian. Okay, they all tried to stomp out the scriptures. The last one even said, you know what, I am going to go ahead and find all the scriptures that I can, and I'm going to tear down all the printing presses. And one of the ones that he tried to destroy, actually they made Bibles from that he destroyed. And you know, God can turn anything around. So there would be tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death. You know, God wants us to be faithful even unto death. 1 Corinthians 9:24 says, "Don't you realize that the race everyone runs, but not only one person gets the prize?" So run to win. Today we're running to win to get our own individual prize. All athletes are disciplined and training. We're all being trained in the body of Christ. We're all being trained with His Spirit, with His Word, with our testimony. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for eternal prize. Remember, putting that treasure into heaven constantly. Give glory to God. Don't lose your first love. And hang in there. So I run with purpose in every step. I am not just shadow boxing. In other words, you just, you know, at the end of the day, you have nothing accomplished. But, you know, you're fighting your arch enemy through the Spirit. And He cannot overcome you unless you allow Him in. And there are ways that you know yourself that you can humble yourself before God and get strength. And nobody's perfect. We all have our good days and bad days. I guarantee you, everybody did this past week. I discipline my body like an athlete, trying to do what I should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. We were talking about in Sunday school, Paul was a short-looking guy, wasn't very good-looking. He had a speech impediment. But you know what? And other issues that he had. But he loved the Lord, His Spirit. That's what we should look for in each one today, is look for that Spirit, that kindling Spirit of the Holy Spirit that dwells within us, that points us to Jesus. And one kid said to me, "What does Jesus mean?" He says, "Does it mean, gee, us?" And I'm like, "No." He said, you know, but he was cute. I remember that. You know, we should all have Jesus in us. Otherwise, fear that after preaching to others, I might be disqualified. So, you know, we need the Lord. People need the Lord. He is the open door. So we need to live that testimony. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. That word crown is in the Greek is stephanos. Where we get a word, Stephen, who was martyred there for his faith. Remember in Acts when Jesus stood up, when Stephen was being stoned, one of the disciples, and he was being stoned, and Paul, at the time was called Saul, stood afar off and looked. And, you know, he was one of the witnesses that testified against Stephen. So there's a crown, a victor's crown that we all get, that we will all one day cast before His feet, so to speak. And, you know, it's all honor and glory to Him. It's all grace. It's all mercy. It's all by faith and everything. Let me encourage you today. Keep on working on your rewards, because each one of us will be rewarded through our pains and sufferings, through our anguish, through our disappointments, through our ups and downs, through life. Because as one person put it years ago, "You're going through a hard time right now, preacher, but there'll be plenty more down the road." And I was looked at and I was like, "That's not encouraging. This is my pastor." He says, "It's supposed to help you. It's supposed to strengthen you. So be of good courage. You know, remember, your enemy is out and about like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour." Lions are ones that smell through blood, and they can sense when a hurting Christian's out there. Satan is just awful. We're going through the book of Job right now. And he, first of all, Satan took everything away that Job possessed. Then the second trial is what? Satan says, "Let me touch his body and he will curse you before your face, God." And, you know, he mentioned that three times, curse. That means to swear an allegiance of hatred. Something very bad will happen to you. And yet Job did not, because the second round, Satan lost on that one too, that he was covered from boils from head to toe, and he was in an ash heap, and he was suffering, and he was out by the garbage dump, and even when his three friends came up, couldn't even recognize him, you know? And so they sat there for a whole week looking at this suffering man. And then they realized, and they started talking, and they had no, they didn't know what they were talking about. And I'm sure that if you were suffering in Smyrna, and even Christians today around the world, I had no idea what they're suffering about, because I've never been through what they've been through. It's like some of you, I have no idea what you've been through, but I can be there for you. But the point is that his three friends got it all wrong. He started accusing Job. It was your fault. How many people have come to you today and said, it's your fault because you're suffering? No, it's not your fault. Don't let the devil lie to you. Remember, you were there. You've been there, you've done that. You understand, you know, your spirit bears witness. So there's a crown that will be given, a crown of life. Verse 11 says here, and then Jesus calls, and see if Jesus lives, Jesus knows, or Jesus rewards, and Jesus calls. He who has an ear, let him hear. Sounds familiar with the churches. Got an ear, listen, listen. It's better to listen than to talk. Somebody talks too much, you get in trouble. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. So there's encouragement here. Go the long haul. Stick it out. Put it all in there. Give it the best you can. Encourage some of you here. You know, I thought when you get older, you get gray hair, then you get white hair, then you have no hair, right? You know, I admire you all. I admire you all because, like I said, some of you have suffered. You don't have to be thrown in prison. You've already suffered. You've already been through a lot. So the encouragement here today, in summing this all up, number one, the suffering church, we will have eternal life with Jesus Christ. It's found in verse number 8, the first resurrection. So I want to encourage you about that. Number two, Jesus knows everything, our works, our tribulation, our poverty, verse 9, but we are spiritually rich. Number three, I know of the blasphemous Jews used by Satan, the accuser. There will be people that will accuse us until we die. People will misunderstand us until we die. People don't get us until we die. And all they can think of is just bad things about us. Number four, do not fear for suffering, prison, and testings. Remember, God allows these things to happen. Look at John Bunyan. He wrote Pilgrim's Progress. I read that book once a year. Fox's Martyrs. Okay? I read that book once a year. It's encouraging because, you know, I can look. We have so much around us. This is all a facade. It is. It's, you know, when it gets down to us, there's a spiritual warfare going on. So we're thankful for our comforts. We are. And we give thanks. But let us not be fooled. Number five, three centuries of evil Caesars. Verse 10, be very thankful that we have a government. We live under a republic, not a democracy. We were founded on a republic. And very thankful for the godly leaders that we do have. I should be thankful for everything. We need to pray for the ungodly leaders. Number six, be faithful unto death and we'll be rewarded with a crown of life. Verse 10. Got 2 minutes left for those who are ready to fall asleep. Just kidding. I'm just kidding. It's hard because I used to do the same thing too. And I'd say, I'm praying. I'm praying. Okay. So we have the crown of life. Continue in there. Remember, you are one of the very few that find eternal life. There are many that are going to hell today. It's just a fact of life. And then number 7, be an overcomer that will not be hurt by the second death. Thank God that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life in Revelation chapter 20. Those who are going to be at the great white throne, they're going to go to the second death, into the lake of fire. We need to continue to tell people about the Lord. Tell them that He is the open door before it's too late. So God understands our suffering. He loves us. Remember, Jesus suffered for us as well. And I just hope I encouraged everybody today. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time and invitation, which is always given for those. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, remember, there was a God, there is a God in heaven who came in the flesh, who was born in a manger, who ministered on this earth for around 33 years. His name is Jesus Christ, our Savior, the Anointed One. And He died for you. And you need to realize that you're a sinner today. Realize that you need a Savior. And if you put it off, my friend, you don't know what tomorrow brings. And I pray that you'll accept Christ as your Savior by faith, because He loves you so much. Remember, He will be your Savior, your love in this lifetime. In the next lifetime, if you don't accept Him, He will be your judge. And He has given you a mediator, someone, a go-between. Not a pastor or a priest can be your mediator. It's only Christ Jesus. Accept Him now, because He loves you. And it's a choice that you got to make. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.